Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, April the 16th, 2021. Now, today we are going to do something kind of special. Every third Thursday from 9:10 a.m. until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, we are joined by my pal, Heloise, for an always entertaining and interesting conversation. Now, that conversation was supposed to happen yesterday on the third Thursday, but I had talked to Heloise right before we went on the air, and then we were going on the air, and as you remember yesterday, I did the introduction, and it was silence. But we worked that all out, and because we know you love to hear Heloise, and there is a lot to talk about, some very interesting subjects, we have invited her on this morning, and she has accepted. Now, I hope this is not like Groundhog Day, because I'm going to do the introduction here again, and yesterday it was dead silence, but I have spoken to Heloise just moments ago, so we're going to see how this goes. One of my favorite people, favorite guests to discuss so many interesting things going on that can help your everyday life. She is a columnist, best-selling author, radio personality, television personality, and the undisputed queen of helpful hints, Heloise. Heloise, are you there?
I'm here. I was going to tease you and go dead silent for about 5 seconds, and I thought, you know, I don't think that's not very nice.
Well, you know, it was yesterday. It wasn't so much the silence. I was just worried.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, when I did my show, remember, I had a national live radio show for 3 or 4 years. And so I know the ins and outs. And I have been in your seat with the headphones on, live, national, and the producers in one ear saying, okay, we have so-and-so on the phone. You know, we've got contact. You're like, okay. And blah, 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 blah. Hi, welcome to the show, and then dead silence. You know, and there are times in life things just happen.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, and it makes me think the greatest thing that I think was ever invented in radio was the earbud, because it got rid of those big clunky headphones.
Yes, yeah. And to explain to people what we're talking about, you know, when you put those big headphones on, like a lot of people do now, you know, for music or watch TV or something, okay, every other sound, wherever you are, is blocked out. So if you're sitting without the headphones on and you're watching television, well, you can hear somebody open a door coming into the room. You hear your dog bark, you know, thinking, and you might think, oh, well, I wonder what the dog's barking at. Or you hear the phone ring. But when you've got those headsets on, you don't hear anything else. So, I mean, it's good in that reflect, because you are paying attention. We're doing a show. So when you're there and there's total silence, it's really total silence.
You know, what's interesting, Heloise, I had visited Phil Donahue in New York when I was there a couple weeks ago, and we got on a conversation about the earpieces that a lot of people in cable news and the talk show world wear now, and he says he doesn't think he ever could have operated in a world with that earpiece in his ear, because he used to pride himself on being able to remember and be impromptu.
Well, it depends on your viewpoint or your perception. Some people, I was born cross-eyed, and so pretty much, I mean, severely cross-eyed, to where I one eye, the right eye, went all the way in. I couldn't see out of it. So even as a baby, I would crawl into a wall. I didn't see it. So my hearing became pronounced. I mean, sometimes excruciatingly so. But so my hearing was really the strong point for me. So I could, as a child, I could hear somebody open the door coming into my room. I could hear my mother in the kitchen, you know, with the bottle of milk or cooking something. Where my husband has poor hearing. When he was a child, when he was a young teenager, he went scuba diving and he went too far down and he blew an eardrum. And so blew an eardrum. You know, he scuba diving. And lost hearing, almost all hearing in one ear. And so for him, his vision took over and became the key sense. We can be driving now. We have a place. I live in Texas, in San Antonio, and we have a place down on the coast, as they call it here in Texas, near Rockport, Texas. It's beautiful and everything. And we can be driving down there, and I'm working, or we're kind of listening to the radio or something, and David will say, look over there, look at that circle of hawks. And I was like, what? It's a lot of farmland down there, and you're out there, you know. And it would be a dead animal, and the hawks and then the buzzards were circling, and that was the sign that something was dead. Well, I couldn't see it. I didn't know it. But we'll be driving or something, and I'll kind of stop, and he looks at me and goes, okay, what? I said, well, I heard something kind of, I don't know. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, it kind of like a, see, he couldn't hear it. And there was something wrong with one of our radiator hoses. It had a little, and so we are a great pair, by the way. We're a really good team.
Well, it sounds like you've got it covered from all ends.
Pretty much. And so when you meet someone or know someone who may have a deficiency in one area, say vision or hearing or touch or something or other, just remember their other senses may be more heightened, and they can see or hear or recognize things that you may not.
Absolutely true. And Heloise, this is interesting because yesterday, before we went on air, you were telling me about a trip you had recently taken, which has led to a discovery of sorts on your end.
Oh, the trip back from California?
I believe so.
Yeah. I was out in California, and it was time for me to come home, and it was when planes weren't flying, you know. And so David, my sweet husband, he said, I'll come get you. Now, we live in Texas, okay? This isn't like driving to the next town. And so he loaded up the SUV and brought our dog, Shammy, she's not little, 20-pound, silky, Wheaton terrier with the blonde hair, as I call her, and drove all the way out there. And got me, and we packed up the truck and everything, and on the trip back, we've traveled together, we've been married for almost 40 years, so we've traveled together and everything, but it was a little bit different perception because of what's been going on, you know, nationally, internationally, and that kind of thing. And we stopped, and I can't remember if it was on the other side of Albuquerque, at a motel for the evening, and I went in and I said, you know, do you accept dogs? We have our dog, you know. I said, she's well trained, she's bathed, She doesn't bark. We walk her through. The guy said, sure. And we were there, and Shammy knows the routine. It's like if you have children. You know, she knows the routine that when things kind of calm down and, you know, the TV's on and there's only two lights on and the bathroom's been used and you're kind of settling in for the evening. And so she knows, and she'll either jump up on one bed for hit, or she'll curl into hers, and we're all sitting there. And she, her head kind of went up, like an alert. And I kind of looked and thought, oh, well, she'd be heard something. And her head went up again, and I kind of nudged David, and he looked at her, and she went over to the door. She didn't bark, but she was at the door, almost like at attention. And I was like, David? And he said, what do you hear? Because of my hearing. I said, I don't hear anything. I said, well, and if this is what you're referring to, is that there were thieves. And what they do is they wait till like midnight, 1 or 2 a.m., and they will go into the parking lot of a motel, knowing that everyone is asleep, dead asleep, etc., and they will break into cars. And she heard that. And David said, wait a minute. I said, no, David, something's... And he called the front desk, if this is the one you're referring to. And the police had to come. And they were out there breaking into all the cars. And the manager, he said, thank you so much. He said, we have had a rat, all of us in the industry here. And then what they do is they'll hit a town and do that for 2-3 weeks, and then they leave and they go to another town. So what I learned from it, and I've written about it, hadn't been published yet though, is, you know, if you're traveling like that and you're stopping overnight, you know, be sure, a lot of people will only take into the motel what they need for that night, and they leave everything else in the car or the truck, which we used to do. You know, you don't have to haul in 4 suitcases when all you need is, you know, your jammies or whatever you're sleeping in, your toothbrush, and that kind of thing, is go ahead and take them in with you. Take them in. You don't have to open them. Set them by the door. And then also, don't leave anything in your vehicle that is visible that would cause someone to have a flashlight, look in, and see a briefcase sitting on the seat. Yeah. Or a toolbox. See, my husband's a retired plumbing, heating, AC contractor. And his toolbox, one time we were traveling, and it was in his work truck. I think we'd gone down the coast or something and had to stop. And he brought his big toolbox, too, into the hotel room, motel, and it's like, David? And he said, oh, they steal this in a heartbeat, particularly if it's in the back of a pickup truck, in the bed. They look over and see that, and that's probably $1,000 or more worth of tools. So don't leave anything visible that would indicate that there's something worthwhile in it.
So if you ever want to see your stuff again, take it in the room.
Take it in the room, or put it in your vehicle somewhere where it is not visible. And one of the cute ones, well, it's really quite good, is a reader. It was during my mother's time. My mother, the original Heloise. And so it was probably in the late 70s. And it was a really good hint, and it was from a woman, a female, and she was a traveling salesperson, which at that time there were not many women who did that. And she would go from, you know, town to town or city to city, and I can't remember what her area of sales was, but she was always concerned about safety. And so she got a man's hat, like a fedora like men used to wear back like then, and she'd put that in her vehicle on the back, like where the back seat is, and there's a little shelf where if you look through the back window, you can see that, and she'd put the hat there, and it would, the signal was, there's a man driving this car. Now, it seems simple, but it's really very smart.
Well, and things like that can make a world of difference.
You know, they really can, and it's, what I always try to tell people is, I'm not a genius, I'm not brilliant, but I've learned to think logically, and I have access to, or have learned from, professionals and people in such a wide variety of areas. You know, FBI. There was one time I was getting some rather unsavory mail, and some specialists were called in, and the interesting point was, here's how I know this, is that if someone is in prison or jail, and they send mail out, their name, like your return address, okay, is there, but there's also a long number. That is their prison number. So we finally learned that when those letters would come in and we'd see that number, it would just go in the box that would go to our FBI guy, who would go through them, and he finally figured out there was a pattern. It was the same prisoner, and it was when I was doing the Today Show and then I think Home Show out in California, and I was on the third Thursday of every month. I was on a schedule. Third Thursday on the Today Show, and then it was the third Tuesday, you know, or something rather like that. And there was a pattern. And this guy figured it out and basically said, well, I know that you're on those shows on the third Thursday and the third Tuesday, so I'm going to come rob your house on those days. Excuse me? So, you know, just be conscious of some of the subliminal, I can never say that word, information you may give out innocently that someone else may pick up on. You know, the other thing, i.e. with the female saleswoman who would keep a man's hat in the back of the car, which signaled, this is a man's car, there's a man with me. When you get into a motel room, you know, if there are two beds, I used to always use one bed that I would sleep in, and then the other bed was my desk. Well, that, if somebody, in a hotel or a motel, anyone who works there has access to your room. Okay? They've got keys. Not, you know, whether it's the maid service or room service or there's a plumbing problem or air conditioning or anything. So, if they open the door and look in and they see one bed and the little desk and everything, they're like, okay, there's one person here. So I finally would put my work on the desk or something or other, and then the second bed that I did not sleep in, I'd fold the covers back and take the two pillows and put them up against the headboard and put a magazine there like there was another person in the room. What? I know, information that very few people have to know, but just keep it in the back of your mind that for safety's sake, don't send signals that people can decipher what your pattern is, what you're doing, that kind of thing.
You know, it's interesting you bring this up because any time you're dealing with somebody from prison, that can be frightening, and you got to have people involved in that way. Yeah. But in that story, what struck me was the person who was in prison, who was talking about robbing the home, that he would tell you that he was going to rob the home. See, I would think if you're a criminal, you don't want to tip people off that that's what you're going to be doing, because, you know, somebody will be there to greet you, you know, with maybe handcuffs.
Well, that's what an average person would think. But the forensic psychiatrist that I consulted with, God bless him, Dr. Michael Randall, he said, for that type of personality, it may not necessarily be the act. It's the threat is just enough to make the other individual be afraid. They think differently than we do. So just making a threat, sending a threat, is enough that they think, okay, now they're going to be worried. So, you know, in all of life, you pick up little tidbits of information, tidbits of hints, if you will, you know, where you've been someplace, you've done something, and you locked your keys in the car. God, I did that once. Oh, my God, how did I do it? And it was just horrific, and I felt so stupid, you know, or something. You know, learn from the experience.
I think that's absolutely true. Now, Heloise, we want to let people know that Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd, and something that goes hand in hand with Earth Day certainly is recycling.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people do this, but to be honest, not to the degree that they once did.
I think you're correct. I really do. And I've been cleaning some things out, and I ran across my book that I had done for, I don't have it with me, so I'm not sure the pub date, but it was Hints for a Healthy Planet. And it was pubbed to coincide with Earth Day, whichever year it was. And I went back through it, and I thought, you know, there is really still very good and valuable information in here. And it's, so I'm going back through and picking out tidbits or hints that are valuable today, that it may not be to recycle. Recycle is one thing. That means whatever you have, the milk carton or something, is recycled, it's reprocessed and made into something else. Reuse is different. The example, and I do this, my husband buys orange juice or apple juice or some punch or something in the plastic gallon milk jug. Right? What? That milk jug itself, because I had gone to a plastics factory one time, starts out, frankly, about the size of a pea, right? And then it gets puffed up. So, but I reuse it, and I, to water my plants. So, to reuse something, if you can reuse it, and it helps you, and it helps something from going into the landfill, then it's a good hint as far as I'm concerned.
Why do you think we've become less cognizant of Earth Day? It's one of those things. I remember in the 90s, there were cartoons, Captain Planet. I remember those blue tubs were dropped off to a lot of cities, just particularly for recycling.
Yep.
You know, 30 years later, I don't see a whole lot of that anymore.
Well, can I take a little, not credit, but I think my hippie generation, you know, I was born in 51, I was in college, you know, in the early 70s, and we came about and said, now, wait a minute, you know, we need to take care of the planet because it's the only one we have. And I think just kind of bringing that back up, and so when I was doing the research for it, about, i.e., that plastic mallet, the plastic milk jug that is big, really starts out about the size of a pea. Okay, so that's not so bad. But something larger, something more substantial that will not break down in a landfill, that kind of thing, you know. So let's look and think in terms of, is it good for you and your family? Can you reuse something rather than throwing it out? Okay. Can you pass it on? Is there, we had, for about 10 years, there was a friend of mine, she taught grade school art, and she was really, really creative. And we were talking one day, and she said, you know, I'm trying to show my students that it's not just painting on a canvas. And so what she was doing, and she was teaching them at the same time, is she was having them each bring in something from their house that could be thrown out. Milk jug, you know, wire coat hanger, that kind of thing. The plastic bag that goes over the dry cleaning. And she said, and we talked about it in the whole class together. Well, now, what can we do with this? This wire coat, I mean, it's a coat hanger, for heaven's sakes. And the class, it's like, and I still do this today. You can take that wire coat hanger and untwist the neck part. That's the hook. Straighten it out, and you have something long, and it's wire, and it's got the hook on the end. And you can do that to, like, when I'm planting or working in my garden, I can push that further than I can get my hand underneath some of the plants and just pull out all kinds of gunk. Or, in the other one, in the home, you take the other end of it, the straight end, and make a little teeny wire, little teeny hook. You can put that down your, and this is, it's going to be gross, but you can put that down your bathroom sink drain or the shower or tub drain and bring it up. You will be, I will not spoil breakfast or lunch for our listeners, but the gunk that comes up, you will then remember to clean out the bathtub or the drain every so often.
So, now, that's interesting. So mm-hmm. you take a coat hanger.
Right.
And you bend the end to a hook.
Yeah, the little end.
The little end.
The straight end. If you bend it just a little hook so that it's small enough to go through and down into that drain. Actually, you could use a knitting needle, too. I wouldn't want to do that.
So once you do that, you send that down through, and uh-huh. and that will bust up that weird stuff.
No. You kind of scrape it, and it will, like, envision, you know, I've got long hair. So envision a glunk, a mat of hair there. So you kind of pick that up two, three times, like one, two, three, and then slowly pull it up out of the drain, and that glunk of wet hair, and it also has, if you use hair conditioner, that's kind of oily, depending on the body soap or that you might use, might have oil in it for people with dry skin. So it's you look at that and you're like, oh, gross, and then you realize, no wonder the drain gets clogged up.
Mm. Well, that's very true, though, because, you know, drains get clogged up so easy in kitchen and also in the bathroom.
Yes, and it absolutely. And I was doing some research on what, and you're thinking the bathroom, And it's like, well, I mean, come on, it's a bathroom sink. Well, you wash your face. You may be using soap or a soft something. You brush your teeth. So there's toothpaste. You rinse and spit out. There's toothpaste with water. You might be using mouthwash. So there's a lot that goes down that drain. And then if there's hair in there, most people, and men particularly, when they're shaving, if you're shaving with water, you stand over the sink, or you stand there with it like, okay, all that goes down there. Well, that's, you're just waiting for it to just clog all up and stop everything up.
That's true, and there's nothing worse than having a kitchen sink clogged up.
Oh. Yeah. And what I really learned, and I've said, my husband, he's retired now, plumbing, heating, air conditioning contractor. And when we were designing and building our home, well, the royal we for the build part. And it's a large house but it's all on one level. Well, I have a two steps down into the living room, but that's it. Because our home is at one end, go down a long hallway, I've got guest rooms and a small study, and then I have a full-fledged office. All right, we have 7 bathrooms in this house. One, 2, 3, 4 full baths and 3 half. All right, that's a lot. And so I was in the kitchen one day, and I peeled a carrot or something or other, and kind of took the sink, the sprayer on the sink, and did kind of like that, and got it all down to the sink, and I turned the disposal on and went zip, zip, and turned the water off, and I was done. And David said, "Let me show you something." Now this is where he's a good teacher. Not, why'd you do that, blah, 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 blah. He said, let me show you something. So he said, okay, we're at the sink. I said, yeah. He said, now follow me. So we walk from the sink. We go like 10 or 15 steps. Take a right. Go about 10, 15, 20, 25 steps. Take a left. Step out onto the patio. I'm thinking, what the heck? And we go about 30 steps, a little bit more, and he stops, and I'm like, yeah? He said, this is where all of that ends up. And I was like, oh. So if you only turn the water on for 5 seconds and then turn it off, that gunk of whatever it is going to go bloop, bonk.
That's absolutely true. And the worst is when if you're washing a pan or something in the sink and it's got grease in it.
Yes, yes. And that is absolutely that, and in the shower area, hair conditioner. Cream rinse or hair conditioner, because it's oily, it's greasy. And so that grease will eventually, think of a straw, right? And you pour some water that's got a little oil in it through the straw. Well, a little bit stays behind on the inside. Well, you do that repeatedly or over a year's time, that builds up, and then the opening gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So in those cases, for you, it's really best to use a paper towel, whatever, to wipe out for the pan, wipe off or out as much oil and grease as you can, then wash. And it is preventive. This will help save you a big plumbing bill later on.
Absolutely, and I think that's the worry, because plumbers are very expensive.
I used to think that too until I married one. No, I'm serious. And then when we were married, and I finally saw his business from the business end, I went. In fact, when I was writing for Good Housekeeping magazine, I wrote for them for like 30 years, and my editor and I were having this discussion. And she said she had a cabin or something in the woods, and there was a plumbing problem, and the plumber had to come from the town, which is 15 miles away, and he had a trip charge. And she said, well, that is just ridiculous. And I said, I used to think so, too. And I explained to her, and I wrote a special piece for them, and I did it with my humor. And I said, okay, do you really think... Because I learned from David. You know, he had five guys on staff. And so rotating them and running the business from where they're going to go distance-wise, if we send so-and-so 14 miles over that way, then we have the next, you know. And then, so I kind of looked at that and I thought, okay, now I get it. Because they're running a business. They have X number of people and X amount of time. And they have the experience. They have either spent a lifetime, like my husband did. His father had been a plumbing, heating, and air conditioning contractor also. So as a kid, he worked for his dad. He saw what it was like. So when that repair person comes into your home, they come in with knowledge, experience, and a good sense of what is probably wrong from all of that collectively that you and I don't have. That is really what you're paying for.
I would tend to agree with that. Now, Heloise, we've got about 8 minutes left here, and I want to spend this 8 minutes on something important, because as I had said at the top of the program, we were supposed to have you on yesterday, and that didn't happen, and that's okay, but it's my understanding that yesterday was a seminal birthday for you.
Click!
Yeah, it's one of those birthdays with a zero in it, wasn't it?
You are so Southern. Oh, no. You know, darling, you God, am I really 70? I'm not still 69? Oh!
The big 7-0. How does it feel?
I know. You know, I don't feel 70, whatever that means. I don't 70 today is different than 70 of 100 years ago. Between... You know, we have more knowledge about lifestyle choices, and you know, I slowly I became a vegetarian. I had with my father, we had gone to Russia and six or seven communist bloc countries in the mid-70s. And we were on an American Express tour, staying at the best hotels because they wanted to. And I ate meat. God knows what I ate. I mean, every night. And I came back, and I wasn't intentional. And then I ate a lot of chicken and fish, and then I slowly tapered off, but not with the intention of doing that. And I feel better. And, you know, a veggie lifestyle or a good balance is good for your health. It's good for your mind. Staying active. And when I took a yoga class back in college, and if everyone else, they were all laughing at me, and they were like, oh, come on, all you do is like you bend, you stretch, what's the big deal? And I said, well, here, can you do this? And I sat down on the floor and wrapped my legs Indian style and then bent all the way over and had my arms behind my back with my hands clutched and bent over, and I could touch my knee to my head to the floor. The guy looked at me and goes, "Hell no, I can't do that." And I said, "Well, that's what yoga allows you and teaches you to do. This is." And he was a big, guy dated Ronnie, and he was a big football player. I mean, big. He was the baby of the family, the Brewsters, and one of his older brothers played for the Chicago Bears. I mean, that big guy, you know. You know, they're built differently, but even with that, your muscle is like a rubber band, okay? You're looking at it, well, yeah. Well, if you keep stretching it really far and real fast, it'll go right back. But if you stretch that, your muscle, slowly, and then stop and relax, and then stretch it a little bit more and stop and relax, and continually do this repeatedly, it will help stretch and lengthen that muscle. And that's sort of what yoga is. No, it's not fast and quick and that kind of thing, but you're slowly getting your muscles and your body and all of that into what I think is a... And I can even... When I had a motorcycle wreck. Car hit me. It wasn't my fault. But anyway, I was the one that ended up with a broken leg. And I at that time, you know, I couldn't go to the gym. And I'm like, oh, God. And I thought, wait a minute, I can do my yoga. And so I would do bed yoga in the morning, you know, and then a little bit later some isometrics where you press your hands together and press hard. That strengthens that muscle. And my orthopedic doctor, God bless him, Dr. Jack Henry, and big guy, and he had been the orthopedic surgeon to the Houston Oilers and the San Antonio Spurs. Football, basketball guys. And he said, "I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, if you do it, okay, if you don't." And I went into him one day and I said, "You know, I thought about what you said. Now, here's something I want to do. It's a yoga move that slowly stretches that muscle, slowly, and then you come back, and then you can tighten it like the rubber band." And he looked at me kind of like, you know how somebody squints their eyes when they're thinking? And he kind of looked at me, and he said, "I like that." He said, "I get it." He said, "I'm going to tell my athletes to start doing that." Because you can do that also almost anywhere. I used to travel extensively and long plane flights, you know, New York, LA, five hours to five and a half one way, you know, against the wind, it could be six. And if you just sit in your airplane seat, you know, but you can do isometrics and nobody knows you're doing it. You can tighten the muscle and then relax it. You can tighten the muscle and relax it. You know, and so I would do that. And so by the time I would be doing these book tours, the first or second one where I had not done that, I mean, I would come up by the second or third week, I was, as they say, a wet noodle. Oh, my God. Well, once I started doing that, and conditioning those muscles and everything, by the fourth or fifth book tour, I didn't have that problem anymore. So there are a lot of things you can do incrementally, you know, very small. Doesn't take you much time. You don't have to spend any money. Now, here's the funny one. And I had been giving a presentation on this to... it was a ladies group. It was like 400 to 500 women and about, and they wanted to learn about what I do as Heloise. How do I find hens? How do I test them? You know, how do I figure something out? And they wanted to know about the travel and how I did it. And I was telling them, you know, I do this and I do this, and my plane yoga, you know, where you sit in the airplane and still do it, or when the plane is, your flight's delayed, oh, God, you're in the waiting room for an hour, you know, do something. Something is better than nothing. And this woman came up, and I would chat with everybody, and she kind of waited till there was only one or two of her friends was with her, and she said, you know what? I do the same thing. I said, oh, really? So tell me. She said, well, you know, I'm very busy, and I've got three or four kids. And she said, there are times I have to either run to the bank or something or other, and I'm not going to get dressed. You know, I'm in the morning, and so she said, I have my raincoat. She lives someplace like in Ohio, you know, where it rains, or Pennsylvania or something. And she said, I put on my, you ready, my knee-high stockings, the ones that go just over your knee, and I wear my heels, and I put my raincoat over my nightgown, and I brush my hair, and I put on my lipstick, and I could go into the bank and do my banking.
She was prepared. Now there's...
And I said, you know, and I'm laughing, and they're all laughing. And I looked at her and I said, you know, it's funny, but it's really a very good
Absolutely. Heloise, this time flies by so fast. Happy birthday to you. The best salutations on your birthday. And we will talk again in the beautiful month of May here in the Midwest.
Well, I have enjoyed it as always. And as I like to end, go out, make it a great Heloise day. Do something good for you, something good for a friend or neighbor, and something good for Mother Planet Earth.
Thank you, Heloise.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. The legendary Heloise right here on WWGH Radio. Not too shabby, to say the least. I will be back in about 10 minutes.
7.1 FM.
One of our great people, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, so glad to see you.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Scott. I'm always amazed at all of these celebrities that you get. You're gone through quite a bunch there. You're my favorite interviewer.
And that's all the time we have for today. We will be back tomorrow. Don't miss it, starting at 10:15 in the morning.